Hey, this is Paul Funchess. This is our youth sermon preview. Again, we told you last week we're going to start doing this every single week for you as parents to know what your youth are learning in youth group, what they're hearing, and then how best to take that and use it for discipling of your teenager. Again, I'm here with Josh Sturm. Josh, tell us a little bit about what's going on. You got a little bit something different happening every other week in youth group. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we have, instead of doing a sermon every week, so even though this is called the sermon preview, tonight it's actually a small group preview, because every other week we do a small group study with the students where they meet, a dozen or less of them meet with their leaders, and they work through the passage in a small group format. So I'm not actually preaching, but we have worked through this as a leadership team. And so we can talk through how we're going to be working the students through it tonight.
Great. So what passage are you guys going through tonight?
Tonight we are looking at Luke 15, 1 through 10.
Ooh, Luke 15.
Yeah, Luke 15. It's a pretty sweet passage. Yeah. So we've been going through Luke all semester, and not fully. We've been skipping chunks, but tonight we find ourselves in a pretty sweet section. So let me just read this passage quick. It's 10 verses. It'll go by pretty quick, and then we'll just talk about how we're going to use it tonight with the students. It says in Luke 15, starting verse 1, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him," to Jesus. "And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So Jesus told them this parable: 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So, two parables. Jesus is dealing with the grumbling of the Pharisees. Because Jesus is eating with the sinners and receiving them, the Pharisees are grumbling. Jesus is trying to prove a point to them. He's trying to prove this point: God rejoices over the salvation of sinners, over the finding and rescuing of sinners. So therefore, as Jesus is eating with these sinners and receiving them, he's actually right in line with the whole heart of God. In fact, he's right in line with the whole purpose of why Jesus is there in the first place. Jesus is seeking to save sinners, to bring sinners into the kingdom. And so as he's sitting with these sinners and he's eating with them, he's proving this point. He's proving that sinners are coming into the kingdom. So the Pharisees are actually rebuked by this. They are shown that their heart is totally off. They are not in line with God's heart. In fact, they aren't in line with Jesus' whole purpose. They are failing to repent and believe. And instead of them entering the kingdom, it's these sinners who are going to be entering the kingdom. So that's the big idea. Jesus is rebuking these Pharisees and saying, "I'm actually in line with God's heart. I am bringing the sinners to me." Get on the same page, essentially. Be people who love the fact that there's sinners being saved.
Okay, so what's the hope then? What are you trying to get teenagers to see? And then how can parents really follow up with that conversation?
Yeah, so there's probably a number of ways you could look at this passage with students, but we're really honing in tonight on the character of God. So God is... He's one who rejoices when sinners are saved, when sinners are rescued. His heart is to see sinners rescued. So he sent his son to carry out that purpose, to rescue sinners. So we're going to really try to drive into that and help the students see God's joyfulness over the salvation of sinners. So one thing you could ask your student on that front, you could simply ask them, how does God feel when sinners are rescued? How does he feel? And hopefully that'll lead you to a conversation about the fact that God actually rejoices over these things. And I challenge you guys, press into that and show that it's because God rejoices over the salvation of sinners that Jesus came in the first place. And because Jesus came to save sinners, we need to first ask ourselves, I'm one of those sinners. Have I responded to Jesus how I should? And after we've responded to Jesus in repentance and faith, do I have the same heart as God? Do I long to see sinners saved? So those are kind of the two ways you can think through that.
Yeah, I think we would all say, of course, we long to see sinners saved. But how does that really manifest itself in our lives? I think that's really good for parents to think through and to be cultivating in their students, really encouraging them. You know, God, the God that we say we worship, loves sinners and loves to see sinners saved. So that should be reflected in our lives as well. We should also love sinners and love, rejoice over the salvation of sinners. So parents, you have kind of what your students are going to be going over tonight. So the challenge is go disciple your teenager. Peace.